Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to the Penthouse 5 podcast, episode number 6.
Woo!
Yeah, we're racking them up. Yeah, if you're on YouTube, if you're watching, what's up? If you're listening on the podcast, Apple Music, Spotify, what's up? This episode, what are we talking about, Dave?
Today we're talking about the controversy and debate surrounding wedding bands and how much they cost.
Okay.
And we're going to try and convince you why wedding bands are worth shelling out the extra dough. We're going to talk about what people think, what musicians think. We've been doing a bit of research. We've been putting in the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got lots to talk about. I'm looking forward to it.
So if you are a client, if you're looking to book a band, if you're maybe looking for your wedding and booking a band, or your event or a birthday party or whatever, whoever you are, if you are looking to book a band, I think the important subject that we are going to talk about today, like you said, is the pricing of a band and why a band doesn't come free, doesn't come for, a few hundred quid. It can cost a lot of money. And the more you pay, we'll go into the details, but that's what this is for. This is for you guys, who just, are watching.
Yeah,
just in general.
Trying to give you guys a bit of knowledge, a bit of information about, what you're getting. It's not just... when you see the bands on stage performing, that's not all you're paying for. There's a whole heap of stuff outside of that before and after that people don't really realise or recognise. That all factors into the cost of a band. So we'll dive into that and try and help you guys out as much as possible if you're looking to book someone yourself. First of all,
what?
What have you been up to, John?
We went to a concert recently. Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino.
Don't know who Childish Gambino is, go check him out. It's Donald Glover, right?
Donald Glover,
his actual name. Childish Gambino is his alias on stage, isn't it?
Yeah, you'll probably know him if you've heard of a comedy show called Community. Donald Glover's in that. He's also in, he had a small part in Spider-Man Homecoming. He was in the Star Wars.
He was Han Solo. He was in Han Solo, wasn't he? And he was, what's his name?
Jesus, the coolest guy in Star Wars. Yeah. Lando Calrissian. Yeah, Jesus, how'd I get that wrong?
There you go. And he's in The Lion King as the voice of Simba. So, yeah. I mean, this guy's like on fire.
He's legit. And as well as well as having an incredible acting career, he's an amazing musician.
And as we got to see, I've seen him before at Lovebox Festival last year. This is 2018 for my best mate, his stag do, Dan Jones. Shout out if you're listening, I know he is.
Right, Dan?
We went to his stag do and we watched him. He headlined on the last night. And even then, I knew who he was, but like... He blew me away. I went there to see Anderson .Paak. I obviously went there for the stag do, but really, it was Anderson .Paak.
Yeah,
no offense, Dan.
That's what friends are for.
But Childish Gambino obviously headlines on that night, on the last night, and blew my mind. And I was a massive fan. And as you do when you see a live concert, whatever, you rinse the album or the songs or whatever. You do a bit more research into the artist, don't you? And obviously, yeah, we chatted about that before, and then you messaged me.
So did the This Is America song slash video
was out.
That was already out.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he ended up with it, but it was like right close to the end.
This must have been like peak kind of popularity current events, whatever I was talking about.
Yeah, it was real close to when it came out.
So that must have been real good then.
Yeah, it was quality. But, I said to you on the way to that concert, when was it? A couple of days ago, wasn't it? Monday night. And I said to you, I thought, normally the concert, when they're at a festival, it's great. But when you're in their concert, their ground, really.
Yeah, a festival, you're only getting... You get a snippet of what their
certain
presentation
of the 100%,
is.
Aren't you?
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
but the concert is full on dedicated to them, their show, their way. And we saw that on Monday night, man. And man, it blew my mind.
I mean, if this is, it's gonna sound like a crazy statement, especially if you don't know Childish Gambino or if you haven't listened to his music. But I don't mince my words, or I'm not giving any sort of hyperbole when I say this, but I genuinely feel that Childish Gambino is potentially the greatest showman of our generation. I mean, the charisma of the guy, just his stage presence, he was incredible. It was one of the best gigs I've ever seen in my life.
100%.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Just completely blown away. I mean, I loved his music anyway, but I'd only really seen...
Even if you're not a fan of music, the show was unbelievable. Yeah.
I loved what he said at the start. It was quite funny. He was talking to people at the start as he came out after his first song.
He
was saying to people...
thanks for buying the ticket, wasn't he? He was like...
Yeah, he was really appreciative. But then he kind of said to everyone, like... he's like, hey guys, everyone got your phones up? And everyone and all the people put their phones up. And he said, yeah, put your phones down.
Yeah.
I'm giving you an experience tonight. This isn't just about the music. This is an experience.
Yeah.
You need to put your phones away.
Yeah.
And you need to soak in this experience. And
yeah.
I love that because...
It's so relevant to right now, 2019, 2018, 2020. It's so relevant to the time now.
Just the smartphone era, the social media era.
Yeah, to sometimes put the phone away and be in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, because you look through the lens of a phone or whatever, the camera, you're not really concentrating on the moment. You're, you know, looking to see if it's in focus and am I zooming in or whatever that is.
Yeah, it really
your mind is on something else, not the thing that is happening right there and then. And with that concept, I mean, I was guilty of taking the phone out, but I wanted to get pictures and videos for us
and
social media and stuff to show that we've been.
There's a lot of people there that filmed pretty much the whole thing off their phones.
Yeah, it's a different thing, isn't it?
It's like, he's right there in front of you. Just put your phone down. Like, he's performing right there in front of you, and you're watching it through, like, a low quality, badly lighted.
It's a better quality on YouTube the next day, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's just like, you know, you pay the money for a ticket like that. Just enjoy it. Be there. Be in the moment. Like, you don't have to be on your phone 24/7.
Yeah.
But I really like that because as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, this is gonna be a show.
You're not gonna
say that unless you've got stuff to show people. You know?
And that's the thing as well about that show. It was pulling stuff out the bag. Like, for me, I said this to you already. The intro of that show was amazing. Like, it grabs your attention straight away. Like, for those who, like, you know, obviously didn't see it. All black, like the whole stadium is dark, and then he just kind of like gets lit up
spotlight
out of nowhere
hitting.
But it's like this beam of light that's like moving, and it's like pulsating up and down, this beam of light, really intense beam of light right on him from the ceiling down to him, and then there's music in the background, like really subtle music, and his vocals, like he's singing, but he's not singing in real life, it's a track. And the light is like pulsating with the lyrics, isn't it? Like the rhythm of the lyrics.
As the vocal line
goes. It's like fading in, like darkness to light to see him and stuff. And he's just stood there, like a proper like Michael Jackson pose, isn't he? Like stone.
For like 2-3 minutes.
And this is musicians and stuff. I remember being back in school and being taught about music and soloing and stuff like that. And all music is, and all of it, is just tension and release. And it's just the build up and then climax and then like the satisfaction. And then again, the build up and the tension and then the release. And that's all it is. That's all music is. That is all really anything is, you know, but that's what the show kept doing. And I loved it. It was like, it's built up and you're like, oh my God, what's coming? It's coming. It's coming. You're like, you know, it's going to happen.
And it drew out for so long that when it hit, it was just
And then it just, you know, and then you just like in the moment, you're like, and like, it flows. And it just does it again and again and again and again. It's just like, it's amazing, you know?
But it was just, I can't think of another artist that's as...
Because you've seen Bruno Mars and Justin Timberlake, right?
Yeah.
And they're two of the biggest artists probably like right now and like the last...
And the band was amazing and it was an almost perfectly polished, tight, incredible performance. Both of them were brilliant. But I think Childish Gambino, he had a rawness to him. Like, you know, he could seamlessly switch between rapping like really heavy hip-hop
singing
stuff,
incredible,
and then he'd sing
really
some beautiful
notes.
Pop kind of melodies and then have these huge rocky like drops and breaks and like massive epic sections.
I can hear it now.
It really was, it was like Prince and Dave Bowie and
Michael Jackson, I guess,
it was crazy.
I guess he felt kind of more real, you know, rather than just on stage. And sometimes when you watch a live band or an act, kind of feels like you could just be watching TV anyway, you know, like they are there. But he was like so three-dimensional, you know. He was on stage, he was so interactive on stage, and then he came off stage, and you know the whole thing where he like went backstage, and then the camera went on the two screens, and you're like, he's walking somewhere. Where's he going? And then we were like, oh, he's at our number gate, you know. And then he pops out,
literally right above us, and it was crazy.
And he walks down the stairs singing, and then goes back to the stage, and he comes out again, doesn't he, near the end. Just unbelievable, man. Like, seriously unbelievable. But anyway, I think we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
So let's get into this topic of how much you pay for a band. Why do you pay quite a large sum for a band?
And yeah.
We're going to dive into this.
So
I was going to say, where we should quickly start is a background of a musician, right? So we're in our late 20s, 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Talk for yourself. You're getting there, bro. Don't worry about it. That is. So, I mean, I would say typical, and obviously you can agree or disagree with me on this, a typical, like, you know, starting point for a musician, right? Would you go for the average? Because obviously there's many ways to be a musician, right? So when did you start playing
music? I started playing when I was about eight.
I
started having lessons properly when I was about 11.
Okay, so you started playing keyboard when you were like 8.
Yeah, my older brother had a keyboard, and he stopped. He did some lessons, but then he stopped, so there was one lying around the house, so I just picked it up myself.
Yeah, so I started when I was 13. I think Steely was around the same age, like early teens, like 13, 14.
Yeah, the start of high school is generally when most people do it.
So that's probably the age you start playing music, right? Like teenagers, like early teen years.
Like 11 to 13, kind of time, generally.
You go through school, you study music, or like you do music, it's fun, whatever. Then you go, I went to college, you went to college after that, studied music, then you go to university. A lot of people I know went to university, whether it was like, I went to ACM. Obviously we had this discussion in our first episode, so if you haven't seen that, go check it out. It's normally like studying from a young age, getting like the passion for it, going to college for a couple of years, then deciding to go to university to actually study music intensely for 2 or 3 years, or maybe more, like, you know, but average is about 3 years.
On top of that, all of the thousands of hours of practice
that all comes into it. Like any trade, any like study in a whatever subject, there's a lot of time immersed in that subject, right? Whether it be practicing physically, whether it be chipping away at wood, you become a woodworker, carpenter, as a woodworker. You know, whatever you are doing, you have to spend time in that. It's the 10,000 hour rule, right? To become a master of it. So like 13, college, university, probably. It's very likely you're going to university for a few years. Out of that, then it's the professional, right? Then it's, I don't know, like for me, it was cruise ships. I did cruise ships and hotels for like 7 years. 5 years on the cruise ships, but immersed with hotels and stuff. So, you know, there's a practical element as well, being a professional. And then, do you know what I mean? So it's like, and you did that stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we're late 20s. I'm 30, whatever. But, you know, that's a long time. Like, I'm like 13. So I look back and it's, what is that? My math's terrible. 17
years.
17 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's flown by, but.
It's more than half your life.
Yeah.
There's that. I think the general misconception with people that don't have any sort of musical background at all, especially if you're wanting to hire a band, I think you kind of think, oh, I know a guy who, like, you know, him and his mates play in a pub band, and they might do it for a hobby, and so they're all that, like, right? Yeah. They're just doing it because they love music, so they can just rock up and play a few songs.
9 times out of 10, the average Joe, whoever they are, average punter, you know, whether you're, you know, you're an auntie or something, you probably know a nephew. Like, oh yeah, my nephew's just started playing guitar. He's just started. Fast forward 17 years, 20 years, right? That's where we're at. That's where these bands are at. That's where these musicians, who are professional musicians, who work for a living as a musician.
Yeah.
Like, it's that long, right? So I think I would safely say that's pretty much a very... standard way of where most people are in the UK. You know, there's various ways to go into music, and you don't have to go to uni or anything, but that's pretty much the majority of people I know who are musicians. That's the way, basically, how they've done it, you know?
And almost every musician in the world will have dealt with the problem of, you know, someone looking to hire a musician and then being offered just a price that doesn't reflect you know, the work and the service that you're providing. Like we did a bit of research on Facebook. You put up a post on Facebook a couple of weeks ago where we went onto one of the main DEP musician sites in the UK.
60,000 people are in this group. This
I'm pretty sure it's
a Facebook group chat. Not group chat.
It's a private group on Facebook.
Yeah, private group. Like there's anything.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the biggest for like working musicians in the UK.
Yeah.
Just for like any sort of jobs that go up, you can advertise it that way and get gigs like that. So we put up a post saying we're trying to do a bit of research. We want to get some feedback from the musician themselves on, you know, why you think as a musician you deserve to get paid. Let's say, as an example, £1,000. You know, it could be far more than that, depending on the quality and the experience of the band. And so we took a few kind of screenshots. Some of them which are fantastic points, and other of them which are hilarious. I mean, the very top comment, which literally got posted about 10 seconds after you put the thread up.
Here's the thing, right? You post stuff in there. I've posted stuff in there before, and I've seen other people posting there. It's like, oh, I need a guitarist for my band, or like we're looking for a guitarist, or looking for a singer, or something like that.
Those things
get one comment, they get two comments, they get a like.
Yeah.
This, I type this at my house with Dave, like, you know, we're like, all right, let's do a bit of research when we do this video.
Yeah.
And
in less than an hour, it got over 100 comments.
It was mad. My Facebook was like, ding, 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 ding.
I was like,
oh my God. You know, it's just like watching it in real time, these people comment, because it's such a hot subject in the musician like world, you know.
Yeah, well, because everyone's been there. Everyone's,
the conversation's,
you know,
happened a million times.
In, like you say, over 15 years of work, learning your trade, becoming a professional musician.
I come up to you and I'm like, do it for free.
Yeah.
Do it for 100 quid.
Oh, what about the exposure? What about exposure you'll get from this gig?
And
it's like,
we can dive into that more, but let's go to some of the
comments. The very first comment, which I'm pretty sure was posted about 10 seconds after you put up the thread, was the first person who's gone, here we go, and then like an emoji with it, like, oh boy, this is going to be a long one. And he was right, because we got hundreds of comments on this.
Nice.
I mean, another, I'm just scrolling through it, almost literally the next comment that's been put is another person who's put, oh God, not this again. So it's like,
it's a hot topic.
It just suggests how often this comes up, because there really is, you know, a lack of information or lack of knowledge. For
on
people,
the client side sometimes.
There's a lack of knowledge on what fee is a
acceptable.
Acceptable fee and a deserving fee, I mean, just flicking through, you know, another comment that someone's put here, you know, things to consider that people don't normally consider. You've got tax, national insurance, pension insurance, equipment outlay, upkeep and depreciation, travel, time, expertise, etc., etc. That plus on the end of the £1,000 needs to be pretty substantial too. So that's this person's opinion. But like you say, I think a lot of people just think, I'm going to hire a band for my wedding. I'm just paying for them to play 2 45-minute sets. So, you know, why is it that much?
Yeah.
But that's really not all you're paying for. I mean, especially with wedding gigs, usually you want a band to turn up early and set up early, because you don't want the band setting up and doing a sound check whilst everyone's eating and doing the best man speeches and everything. So that means you want the band to turn up in the early afternoon, let's say like 2-3 o'clock, you know, before everyone starts coming in. You know, this could be a band that's traveling hundreds of miles. And so think of when they've had to get up and start their day, start their working day, commuting to this job, because it is a job for people. It's
so
not a hobby.
Let's make an example, like a basic example. So let's say we got to be there for 2 o'clock, and it's probably on average 2 hour drive away, 3 hour drive away. Let's say 3 hours.
Yeah, 3 hours average, because it could be anywhere in the UK.
Yeah.
We've done gigs abroad in Europe. We've done gigs in France. We've had to drive a van with all our equipment.
Yeah,
you know. So
exactly, because we're. That any band you book is going to be based in one area. So, you know, London, for example, and then like 3 hours away from that could be Dorset, you know,
or Leeds or whatever.
Could be anywhere. So, and not every gig every weekend is in London. Like, if you're based there, like wherever you're based, it's not going to be every single gig every weekend. So yeah, let's take a 3 hour drive.
So that's
so you got to be there like, let's say 1 o'clock you'll be there, so we're setting up for you know, the ceremony or something like that.
Yeah, before everyone starts to come into the reception.
So got to be there for one. That's 3 hours before. So
and then you've got, you know, if you're a good wedding band, you're gonna have You're going to have a real good, smart, kind of slick presentation too. You're going to have a good look. So, if you know, obviously everyone's dressed the suit booting, which costs money.
You also want to give yourself time to get there. You know, so it's a 3-hour drive, but what if there's traffic? What if there's an accident?
Yeah.
So you'll give more, like, what, another hour? Let's say 4 hours.
Yeah. I always give
myself... That's a start.
Yeah. And then, you know, you think about, well, what are you bringing with you?
The equipment.
Everything. So you're bringing your own instruments, which cost thousands of pounds.
Yeah, lighting.
Which cost thousands of pounds.
Sound equipment, the PA.
The PA and the speakers.
All the leads, which... Like, they do break. That's the probably the thing that's replaced the most.
The upkeep, like you said, upkeep and depreciation. Yeah. Like, you're either paying for these things outright, like the lighting and sound, or you're renting it, which is not cheap at all.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you think all of the, you know, the money for diesel. You might have a band where they're not all based in the same area. Like us, for example, Connor lives down in Bath. You guys live in Reading. We live in London. Yuki lives in Shepherd's Bush. So there's three, you know, potentially three or four cars all going to the same place. So all the petrol and money for that and all the driving, all the equipment we're going to bring, all the setup and everything. So immediately, before we've even done anything, you're talking about the event starting at, say, 9 p.m. We're getting there for one. We've left the house at like 9, 10. We're bringing all this thousands and thousands of pounds worth of equipment and setting up early and then waiting around. Probably not getting any, well, you know, you may or may not get some food or drink whilst you're there, so
let's say we got to buy food
from say bring it ourselves, station
or, so or Asda or something, you know, whatever, bring it on with us.
And then you're and then even before the day that you're traveling, think of the amount of hours of preparation and rehearsals
that you've done. There's a first dance to learn, more than likely.
Or other requests that the bride and groom
there's mentions. Also set lists to download for, because I mean, one of the things our band provides is like a laptop DJ service, isn't it? So, like, we do have a lot of music that we play, but we always ask the client, the bride and groom, what sort of music they're fans of, what they want us to play. So maybe give us a list of like 10, 20, 30 songs. They're like, oh yeah, we love this artist, play some of this, play some of this, play some of this. So, you know, we're up like putting that in order, like, or like, you know, putting it together in our set list so we can play a load of different music in between our breaks and stuff.
So that's us all getting together beforehand to rehearse these songs, to learn them.
Yeah, so songs are like first dance if we need to learn it.
If you want to go even further back than that, you know, how have you booked the band? Most likely it's going to be off a website or off an agency. So from that, you've got to pay for the websites, you've got to pay for photo shoots, video shoots, you can advertise yourself, which again, that all costs
like
a lot of money.
Any business, isn't it?
Yeah, like any, this is the key thing. That's probably the most important thing you said, is the business. It's not just a bunch of guys playing for a hobby. Like, this is a musician, just like any other trade, just like a plumber or an IT guy that comes out, or a mechanic or anything.
Bakery.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Sure, yeah.
I'm hungry.
But it's a service. You know, we're a business and we're providing a professional service. And I think that's the key thing that gets lost, because you think it's music, it's an art. You know, loads of people can learn an instrument for a hobby. And so people assume it's just, you know, you're just doing something that you love, so we'll give you a couple hundred quid and you'll be fine. But
so we carry on with the day. Where are we at now? So we've arrived at the venue.
So we've arrived, so it's going to take a couple of hours to set everything up.
Yeah.
Set up all the lighting and the PA.
Sound checking, making sure the sound, you'll give yourself enough time as well to make sure anything goes wrong, or the loading in. We got to park this van, take all the equipment out. And it's
bass,
you know,
bins,
sometimes
lighting,
it's not that easy
kits,
as taking out the back of a van through a door into a room. Sometimes it's down like a big corridor, up some stairs, in a lift or something, you know, like we've done many a lift, haven't we? Like venues and stuff.
And then you might think, oh, sound checks, that takes, you know, it's a piece of piss, just plug in your instruments and play. But, you know, you might be at a
venue
a venue that has a sound limiter. That's quite common in a lot of wedding reception areas.
Yeah,
so then you've got to
compete
with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to tweak your volume to an appropriate level in the room. The sound checks, I don't know, that could be a whole podcast in itself, just about sound checks and how awkward they are, because there's a million things that can go wrong.
So once you've done that, your sound check is done, cool, it's now probably like, I don't know, 2 o'clock, let's say, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Now we're just waiting around for a few hours.
That's like 5 hours,
yeah,
maybe, until you start, probably more.
Yeah, so we're probably going to go get some food.
But you can't really go anywhere too far away in case there's any issues.
Exactly. If they want to borrow mics for speeches and stuff.
Yeah. If you're going to come and play for the first dance, you've got to be around.
Yeah. Cutting the cake, first dance and that. And then you're playing 7, 8, 9 o'clock, couple of hours sets. There's a break as well where you're playing like the laptop stuff. And then, you know, you finish playing and then we finish with the laptop and it's midnight. So that's gone from 9, 10 a.m. to midnight. And that's...
That's just when the gig's finished.
And at that point, you shut music down and then we start packing down. And we're quite good with packing down, like that's like obviously faster than setting up and stuff.
Still take, what, an hour and a half?
Nah, not to pack down. But like really? let's say an hour to pack down.
Just, right, fair enough.
Like all the leads, all the lights and everything. And sometimes you're packing down in the dark as well because like it's outside or whatever the gig is, you know? Mm. So you're packing down. So it's 1 o'clock now, 1 a.m. And then you got to load the van. Another half hour with all that gear, like, and you're tired, obviously, and then the 3-hour journey back.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to get out. Or accommodation,
and the accommodation cost has to come into it. And a hotel for 5 people, guess how much that costs? A couple hundred quid.
Yeah,
you know, so it all starts racking up pretty quickly. You know, and that's where the money. That's why it costs so much for a band.
Yeah, the actual it's performance a skill, itself. Obviously, that's the main reason you're there, but that's only a part.
That's not what you're paying for.
Only the entire cost.
That's I think maybe that's the difference. Maybe that's where, you know, some people are like, yeah, but you're only playing like 2 hours. Like, you know, it's everything we just listed before that. Yeah. Everything we just listed before that.
And just going back to, you know, it being a service. You're a professional musician. That might be your main job. You're a musician by trade. That's your main source of income. So you think, okay, you're paying £1,000 for 4 people. So that's 250 quid per person. So you're talking about them working 14 plus hours on a weekend, which is, you know, that's supposedly time off for most other people, but they're
working. That's the weekend gone, really.
Yeah.
Let's think about it. Is the weekend gone? Like Friday, Saturday. Maybe a Sunday as well, gig. But that's the weekend gone for those people, like the musicians. Yeah, of course, we want to do it. We love doing it. That's what it is. But your wedding is that Saturday in 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, you have every Saturday off. You have every Friday off. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's just one of those things. It's the social part, you know? The social life of a musician kind of goes out the window a little bit, you know, I guess. You got any more comments?
Yeah, let's have a look. There was a really interesting one. Let's have a look. So it's a thing that's been said many times, but it works. Take 4 or 5 plumbers, electricians, or IT guys, have them drive 100 miles, bring thousands of pounds worth of tools with them, and have them work for 6 hours at night time on a weekend. See how much that costs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, just to put it into context, and this isn't us like, just to say, this isn't us like, pissing and moaning and complaining or anything, but we're just trying to provide a bit of context so you can understand where we're coming from. You know, there's a lot of people that the musicians is that's their main job.
Yeah,
so you have to treat it. Such.
I think when that person is using the plumber example, that's a very common example when it comes to this conversation.
Say, yeah.
But when it comes to that, I think society, you know, sees that as a real job. Sees like
it's,
you know,
exactly, it's a real it's, job. That's yeah, a real job. The like, musician's not a real
the,
job.
The plumber is known as hardworking. You know, had to go for a lot of time, like learning the
most
skills.
Most
bums. yeah, most bums. Yeah, Dan, you lazy. But you know what I'm saying. Where are we at? So yeah, you know, what other comments you got?
I wanted to find one that was really good. This is the one. This is the one that hits home to me most. How much time we got? What are we on?
We're on 28 minutes.
20, okay, 20, so I'll be quick. So I'll read this out. So this person says the reason for why you'd pay £1,000 or more, because we're going to spend days learning your requests. I'm going to make you cry with emotion in your first dance song. We're going to sing the living shit out of your wedding. My bandmates are going to tear it up. I'm going to sweat my tits off. We're going to perform like never before and not accept less than to have that dance floor filled and bouncing, making you memories to last you the rest of your life. That's the reason why you should pay the money. You pay...
More money.
That's the reason
that's
why
you should pay more money. For a good band.
Because they're going to provide memories. They're going to provide a night that you're never going to forget. It's going to be incredible music with an incredibly tailored, professional, amazing band. And people are going to remember your wedding for years and years to come because of how incredible the night was. And that's what you want for your wedding. You want everyone, obviously it's a day for you, but you want all of your best friends and family to enjoy it as well. So that's the main reason.
For YouTube viewers, thanks for watching. check out the next episode from us, Penthouse 5. Peace.
See you later.
But for you guys on the audio experience,
After Dark.
You gotta make this a thing. Yeah, so that's pretty much all we can really say. I mean, you know, that's the gist of it, isn't it? It's
I think the last part that I mentioned, I think that's, I mean, everything we said before is giving you context as to, you know, why, you know, musicians, it is a real job. You know, people don't think it is when you compare it to a plumber or a carpenter or a nurse or a doctor, whatever, but it is a real job just like anything else, and it's a service that you provide. But that, you know, when we were talking about all that stuff, we're just kind of giving you a bit of context as to, you know, how it's a job for the people. But the last part for me, that really rings true. Like, the reason that we work so hard to make our performance and our experience as Penthouse 5, the band, so good and so tight, is because we want to make your night an incredible night that you'll never forget.
And that's really, this is a good way to round it, come full circle, is the fact that we are musicians. And I mean, how many people were at that goddamn show? The O2 Arena, Childish Gambino?
15,000 plus? Yeah.
Nah, more than that, surely.
20,000 maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
O2 Arena's big, yeah.
We came away being like, wow, oh my God. Like, I remember, I hear stuff. I mean, obviously, it was just a few days ago. But you know what I mean? Like,
I'll never forget that gig. That's one of the greatest gigs I've ever seen.
That's what I'm saying. And being musicians, we're inspired by that stuff. And, like, you know, for me, like, I was just like, what can we take from this show and implement in our own show, you know? Because I want to get better. I want every gig to be better than the last one. You're only as good as your last bat, you know? And that's it. Like, we're trying, like, that is our job. That is our career. Like, we are trying to provide that feeling to someone else who's paid for it. Like, we paid for that gig. I paid 70 quid to see that show, you know? And it was unbelievable. Like, it was worth 150.
Oh.
It was worth more than that, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, that's what we're trying to do, I think.
That's it. You know, you want people to come away, especially if it's a wedding gig, or it doesn't have to be just a wedding gig, but any sort of event, any party, you know, if you're going for a night out, at the very least, it's going to be a night out for you.
Yeah.
You know, you want that to be an incredible, memorable night out that hopefully you'll never forget. And, you know, it's... sounds a bit mushy, but it's part of the reason that why the job's really satisfying when you do have clients that you can tell they've absolutely, it's blown them away when it really has that lasting impression.
And that's it, when they look, you know, hopefully they just get married the once. But, you know, like 20 years from now, 15 years from then, you know, isn't it the point of like looking back and being like, you know, like that's the whole point of like... You know, life is really about sharing stories and stuff like that. That's all you have at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, all you have right now is the memories that you've had up until this point, you know? And we share our memories. You share a memory with me. And maybe it's something we have in common. Do you know what I mean? That's where you touch, that's where you make friendships. And so you bond with other humans and stuff. So if 20 years from after your wedding, don't you want to be like, you know, what an amazing day. The venue was beautiful. Do you remember the sun? Do you remember, like, the food we had? Or do you remember... the music and that band we had and our first dance and how beautiful it was. Do you know what I mean? It's all that sort of stuff that you're talking about as well.
Everyone's been to weddings with friends and family, and, you know, not every wedding is incredible. Sometimes, you know, just because of people's budget, you know, everyone's got loads of money to spend.
Exactly.
It might just be, you know, a pretty bog standard affair, and they've got kind of a DJ and everyone has a bit of a boogie and then goes home and that's it. And that's fine and that's great. And obviously, you know, people... you're going to get married with what you can afford, and that's absolutely fine. But, you know, there's going to be a handful of weddings that you've been to that wasn't your own, that you'll remember. And there'll be a few reasons. It could be, oh, do you remember that best man speech? Or, you know, it could be something silly or embarrassing.
Yeah.
But it also could be, do you remember that guy, Dan? He had that wedding and they had that band there and they played that song. Remember when they played that song and we all went mental and it was crazy and it was the best night ever. Do you remember that? That's what you want at your wedding.
Yeah.
That's what you want, and that's priceless. You could pay £1 million for that. You still might not get that. So that's, you know, that's what you're striving for. So it's if you can afford it, it's worth putting in a little bit extra to get that band that you think's perfect for you and for all of your friends and family who are going to share the day with you.
Definitely. 100% agree. Well, that's pretty much it, I guess, from us. So until next time, episode number 7, check it out. Probably be in a couple of weeks or a week or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're listening on the podcast, thank you so much for listening so far. And don't forget as well, if you're listening on Apple Music, especially on you know, the iPod station with Apple, leave a review. Even if you thought it was amazing, yeah, just make sure you, yeah, give us.
Of course, it's going to be amazing. If you're,
yeah,
what
but,
else
I mean,
is...
if you listen this goddamn long, I mean, this would be more factual than like really funny, but
Leave
a review,
if,
man.
If you
leave
think
a comment.
If you think it's helped you in any way, whether you're a musician or whether you're someone who's looking to have a party or a wedding, you know, it would be. I know you hear it in videos all the time, but it really would make a huge difference to us if you could chuck us a 5 stars or even a nice little comment or whatever.
Yeah, or go
really
onto YouTube or Facebook or Instagram or any social media that you
send
use.
Send us a comment, say hi.
Search at Penthouse the number 5 band. Find us, like, you know, you don't have to follow us, whatever you want to do, but drop us a message, man. Just let us know that you're listening or that you watch our content or whatever. Like, we appreciate all of it. Anyway, from us, peace out.
See ya.
Anyway, what do you think about Stilly, man? Fucking hate that guy.
Stilly,
what a dickhead.
Good.
Oh shit, Mike's still on, bro.